We now bring to these microphones David James. We have a weekly conversation. We look at an issue that should be of importance to the body of Christ, to the church, and then we try to explain some of the facets of that particular issue and go bottom line, what does God's Word have to say about that particular subject? So glad you could join us for the conversation this time. And David, as we enter the Christmas season, this may seem a bit of an odd story to cover, but there have been a number of recent articles concerning the issue of demons and exorcism. And they involved not just individual, but even sometimes entire nations. Talk to me about this.
Well, that's really true, and to be honest, it's not that strange for a couple of reasons. One is the fact that you mentioned these recent articles that came out. For example, in June, there was a priest who supposedly exorcised demons from the entire nation of Mexico. Another interesting thing is that really the Bible talks really very little about demonic activity until the birth of Christ. And then one more thing came to my attention, and that is, we spent 16 years in Hungary, in Europe, and in a couple of days is St. Nicholas Day, and there is a demonic figure that travels everywhere with St. Nicholas, according to their mythology, who is the one who leaves sticks and lumps of coal and does bad things to children if they are bad during the year, and he's a demonic figure. And there's a movie that has come out just this week called Krampus, who is the name of this demonic figure.
Wow. Wow, so this is evidence of the fact that we probably have chosen a very important issue for our conversation this week. What is driving the current obsession with this entire topic? There was a time when you just never heard much about it.
Well, if you point to one thing, it was probably the popularity of The Exorcist movie, which came out in 1973. It actually was nominated for 10 Academy Award nominations that year and is one of the highest grossing movies of all times, and it was supposedly based upon the exorcism of a young 12-year-old child. And since then, we've seen things like The Omen and Damien and Rosemary's Baby one after the other. And then, it seems like now Hollywood is totally obsessed with this. So we're actually seeing an escalation of this on all fronts, both in literature and in the popular culture as a whole.
David, and I've noticed this, that across the world there are many different approaches used in dealing with what people consider to be demon possession. Think about a couple of those with us.
Well, sure. First, you have the pagan approach, the witchcraft approach, where you have witch doctors, and basically, it's Satan trying to cast out Satan, and certainly we know that just doesn't work. Then you have the Catholic approach, which is a ritualistic approach, and then because it's so ritualistic, and because of the formulas which come from medieval mysticism, it's basically just another form of witchcraft trying to deal with witchcraft. You see a lot of it in the charismatic movement. There's lots of emphasis on that, and especially in the deliverance ministries. I was reading the other day that there are like 400 or 500 different deliverance ministries that focus specifically on this, and I experienced this myself even in the 1980s when one of my professors that had to leave Dallas Seminary was getting involved with deliverance ministries and the Vineyard movement.
Wow. This is really rampantly growing across the world. You just brought to our attention, again, that you've been in ministry all over the world for nearly 30 years. Have you ever encountered what you thought might have been demonic activity?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been in two specific situations where I didn't know, I suspected things were really weird. I had, in each case, the person was almost delirious, was having a difficult time thinking clearly, was very fearful. The people around them couldn't control them. And here's what I did. I took the Word of God, and in both times I turned to First John chapter 4, where it talks about perfect love casts out fear. And in both cases, when the person first started reading, he couldn't even hardly see the page. And within a few verses, they just started haltingly speaking them. And within about 4 or 5 verses of reading the Word of God, they were completely back in their right mind.
That is a bottom line right there. But most people are either ignorant of or even actually contradicting what the Bible has to say about this entire issue, aren't they?
That's true. You know, one of the things that I frequently tell my students is if it's not in the text, somebody made it up. And most of what you hear, especially in the Catholic Church or in deliverance ministries and in charismatic ministries where they talk about delivering, they use terminology, they use formulas, they use ideas that are simply not found in the Scriptures, which means that somebody is just making this stuff up.
Well, let's first think about the issue of demonic activity in the Old Testament. Now, did you say a few moments ago there's not a whole lot of it, or is there absolutely no demonic activity in the Old Testament?
Well, you see a little bit, probably in Genesis chapter 6, almost certainly something going on there, but very little is said. And then we know in Job chapters 1 and 2 that Satan accuses Job. But the interesting thing about this is that here you have completely pagan-worshipping demonic cultures, and yet nothing, we gain almost zero theology and no examples of demon possession that are explicitly stated in the Old Testament. And we don't see anything said at all, so we can't really draw a theology from the Old Testament.
When we think about demonic activities, as I understand it, and a compatriot of yours, Al Cogna, wrote an excellent book on the subject as well, he made the statement, and see if we're on the same page here, that a demon is actually an evil angel, and you referred to evil angels in Genesis 6 and Job 1 and 2, evil angel taking up a habitation in a human person. Would you agree that's demonic activity?
Yes, I would agree. A demon would be a fallen angel who joins Satan in his rebellion, who attempts to take over the faculties, the thinking, the body, the physical use of a human body. And the interesting thing is, we really don't see it in the Old Testament, much said at all, but we do find in the New Testament that it's primarily and almost exclusively during the time of Jesus Christ on the earth, and then just a couple of times after his ascension, and then it appears to die out once again. So it appears that you could say something like this: all hell breaks loose when the Son of God is on the earth, and there's this attempt to destroy him through demonic activity. But that is the focus of the Bible.
I always use, when I'm at Capernaum, when Jesus went into the synagogue there and cast out the demon, the demon came out saying, "Hey, we know who you are, Jesus Christ. We understand we're supposed to obey what you say." Very interesting how Jesus went through the Galilee, through that area, during the time, as you mentioned, when he was on earth casting out demons. Well, we know that the Catholic Church has specific formulas. You mentioned a formula just a moment ago. And they have deliverance ministries, which have specific techniques that they try to use. Do these line up with what the Scripture has to say? Are they really to be that which we use confronting demonic activity?
Actually, I would have to say no, because there is really no biblical instruction concerning how to deal with demons. Even in the pastoral epistles, there's no mention of them in the letters to the churches. What we find is that Jesus, in Matthew chapter 10, commissioned the apostles to deal with them directly, just as Jesus himself would deal with them directly. But there's a completely different approach for the average believer. And we find, for example, in James, it says, "Submit yourselves to God, humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We are never to take an aggressive stance. In fact, Jude even says, concerning contesting over the body of Moses with Satan himself, that Michael the archangel refused to do so and said, "The Lord rebuke you." So this seems to be something that was reserved for Jesus and the 12 apostles.
Well, some point to the account there in Matthew chapter 17, when the disciples failed to cast out a demon because of lack of faith. What do you say to that?
This is what he uses, the illustration of faith of a mustard seed, which means the smallest amount of faith possible. It's not that you need a lot of faith. It's not that the apostles needed a lot of faith. The mustard seed was the smallest agricultural seed. So Jesus was saying, you have been given the authority, and the only amount of faith you need is the smallest amount that you can possibly imagine. And they had simply failed to do what he had told them to do, and that was to pray and fast so that they could cast out this kind of demon.
David, as we come to the conclusion of our conversation, give us two or three practical biblical principles concerning dealing with demonic activity.
First, I would say this. There are some people say that Christians can also be demon-possessed, and John tells us that he who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So I do not believe that Christians can be possessed by demons. I quoted James, which says we are to take a defensive posture, and we also know that there is no fellowship between light and darkness. So all we have to do is submit ourselves to the Lord. And for the person who is troubled by a demon, we share the gospel with them. And when they believe, the Holy Spirit indwells them, the demon has to leave if, in fact, that is the problem.
Yeah, bottom line, lead somebody to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes in, the demon has to get out of there. One other passage of Scripture that I might just mention, Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil in these the last days. David James, he always comes to the table with great research as we discuss an issue the body of Christ needs to have information about and go to the bottom line, what does God's Word have to say? David, thank you so very much. We'll have another conversation, another issue next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy.